You're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
I don't know how old you are. I don't know why movies continuously cast you as an action star badass. If you're looking for a good performance, I can tell you that you'll receive a mediocre one. But what I do have are a very particular set of traits, character attributes that could be found in a very long career, tropes that make him a slight nightmare for the general audience. If you let Liam Neeson go back to prestige films, that'll be the end of it. I will watch those movies. But if you don't, I will look for it. I will watch it, and I'll give it a subpar review.
Good luck, buddy.
Well, that's thank you guys for indulging me. This is Write with Screener Squad, and today we're going to be talking about Honest Thief, starring Liam Neeson, Kate Walsh, Jeffrey Donovan, the most underrated actor out there right now, I think. I think he's fucking fantastic. A couple of people, Jai Courtney, and
the second most underrated actor.
Sure. Let's go with that.
And kind of a cameo of Robert Patrick, which was nice to see him in something. But with me today to talk about this new Liam Neeson vehicle is Adrian.
Yellow.
I got Trevor.
Howdy do.
And I got Spider Mike.
Howdy, howdy.
So, guys, you know, this is another Liam Neeson movie that is a lot like every other movie he's done in the past 12 years. I guess sans Silence, I guess. But ever since Taken in 2008, that was 12 years ago now, he's been doing these, like, subpar, straight-to-video kind of action movies. And if you guys don't know why he's doing this, is that initially it's because his wife did pass away. And so he wanted to really just dive back into work and really get his mind off of things. And at least that's just what he was talking about. But it has been 12 years now, and he's still doing these things. And I will say, Liam Neeson is an incredible actor. Even in this kind of crap movies that he's making, he still, like, brings it. It's just that... And again, Adrian and I talked about this before we started recording, and Spider-Mac as well. We don't want to be ageist or anything, but he's an elder gentleman now.
Yes.
He is 68, and it's kind of becoming a little unbelievable for him to be an action star badass a la, like, John Wick or something. Spider-Mac, what did you think about this movie?
I love this movie for all the wrong reasons. Every possible wrong reason. Like, I was never bored because I consistently was like, this is the stupidest, cheesiest fucking thing I've seen, and I'm all for it.
I'll give you credit there. How about you, Adrian?
There was a point a couple years back, I had a little birthday party, and we're all getting drunk and having fun, and in the background was Taken 3, I want to say.
Oh, Jesus.
And we just kept laughing at it anytime we would kind of glance over. And I think that's the best way to watch this one, too. Like, I don't know. I can't really recommend this. This is just so... It's for a specific audience.
So, Trevor, because that's an interesting point you're making. So, Trevor, who is this for?
I will tell you exactly who this for, and I do not mean to bring down the room. This is 100% accurate. this is for my poor late mother, who loved Liam Neeson, who loved Taken, who loved Taken on an airplane, who loved Taken at the hockey game, whatever the fucking...
On a train. Yeah.
Taken on a train recently.
Taken out in the woods with wolves. Like, she loved it all. And this is more of the same. And it's kind of like there was that spat of, you know, Denzel Washington movies. You had Man on Fire. You had The Equalizer. You had The Equalizer 2. You had John Q. Like, there was a lot of just of the same kind of cookie cutter Denzel Washington movies where he played a person with a certain set of skills. And this is that, only it's the Liam Neeson end of it. And my mom would have eaten both of these up with a fork and spoon. And this is exactly who it's for. That's why I can't bring myself to hate this. I can't, I can't really, you know, it's not exemplary enough to recommend to you and say, no, you out of all the plethora of streaming this week, this is the one you got to watch. No, I can't do that. Yeah, if you're looking for, you know, TNT's movies for guys who like movies and you want to watch Liam Neeson be Liam Neeson for an hour and a half, this as advertised, as delivered.
Like on a Thursday at like 6 p.m., I'm like, oh, shit, it's Honest Thief. Oh, what's this? Adrian, you were going to say something, though.
Yeah, I respect where that's coming from because that's also my grandpa. He loves these movies. He loves any action movie, really, that has some kind of like, well, I'm going to get some kind of revenge on you or something like that. I think we should go into the plot a little bit, at least.
Yeah, actually, Adrian, you take it away. What's the plot of the movie?
So this has to do with Liam Neeson playing Liam Neeson. I'm sure he has a character name.
Tom Carter.
So he has been a bank thief for the longest time, and the type who goes in when the bank is closed and he's able to get into the vaults and do all this shit, and everyone's like, oh shit, where did all our money go? Well, it's been Liam Neeson for years. And until he decides, you know what, I've met Kate Walsh, and me and her are getting along really well. I think I'm just going to go ahead and give up this lifestyle, and I'm going to turn myself in because it's just going to eat away at me if I don't. Even though they haven't caught me for 12 years, they're never going to. But whatever. He's an honest thief.
He's the titular honest thief.
So he's like, all right, I'm going to call the cops and tell them I want a reduced sentence and all this stuff. I'm going to give back all the money because I've spent none of it. And the cops are like, well, we don't really even believe that it's you because we've heard about this. I think he's called the In-N-Out Bandit.
The In-N-Out Bandit.
And they get a bunch of different people like claiming that they are him.
Kind of. Yeah. So they're like, you know what? It's probably just going to be another one of those. Just go ahead and send Jai Courtney and Anthony Ramos to check it out, see what's going on. And of course, Jai Courtney's like, oh, shit, there's money here. Let's fuck it over, and we'll kill our captain and all this other stuff. So it turns into a Liam Neeson movie. Like, it's just a setup for another Liam Neeson movie. Now he has to clear his name. He's got to get his money back, and he's got to go against Jai Courtney and Anthony Ramos, who's kind of just there for the ride, really.
Yeah, his poor character. He at first, goes along with it, and then he has a change of a conscience where he's just like, oh God, no, this is really bad because he's a family man and Jai Courtney is obviously not.
They don't let you forget that, by the way. Consistently.
Yeah, they...
Fucking consistently.
Yeah.
Think about your family, man.
How is your family, man?
Is that a threat? Do you want it to be? And like, okay, well...
Does it need to be?
I want to go back to something that... you said, Trevor, is that, you know, Denzel Washington is also doing kind of the same thing, or at least like there was a stretch of that. And I think the biggest difference, though, is that Denzel has been working with really just a couple of different directors doing those types of movies, like Antoine Fuqua and then Tony Scott with like Unstoppable and a couple other, and Man on Fire. Yeah. Like, though, they're at least prestigious enough, I would say, that they end up making, you know, kind of trashy-ish movies, like they're action-packed, but I think they're still technically better. And that's where this kind of falls into another category of like, yeah, they're the same kind of dumb plot of just like, he was wronged. Now he has to get revenge and, you know, take back something and blah, blah, blah. But there's none of the care in filmmaking. And that's where this really becomes just a generic, boring action movie, because there's really nothing that exciting except for seeing Liam Neeson fall out of a two-story window and falling on Jai Courtney.
The most exciting thing is watching the cuts to figure out why the fuck they did these cuts.
Yeah.
Because there's a cut really early on where, like, he first meets Kate Walsh, and then it just cuts. It's like 1 year later. I'm like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah. That was a little weird. But there's also, yes, of course, Jai Courtney and Anthony Ramos are trying to steal this money from him. And there's kind of a cat and mouse game. And Jeffrey Donovan, can we just talk about him real quick? I think he's fucking wonderful. And he's actually kind of good in this.
He saved this movie for me, I think. Watching anytime he's on screen, he's got his own plot going on. He's got his own subplot going on. He's got an ex-wife story. He's taken the dog bowling. He didn't bring its fucking paper, you know. And his whole thing is more fun to watch than anything Jai Courtney and that cohort does. But then there's him, and then there's also Robert Patrick, who is kind of also, they're both at this, like, I'm a good cop, but man, I've seen some shit, and I don't give a fuck. I'm good. I'm here to do my job, but man, I've really just, what do you tell, you know? And they're fun to watch. Yeah. Liam Neeson's fun to watch. I think really where everybody is underserved is in the script. Really nobody gets anything to do until it's an action scene. And leaves a lot of these really good performances on the table.
Well, the only things they get to do is just say the cheesiest possible dialogue at every possible moment. Like, we talked about, you know, the guy being a family man. Like, there's a sequence later on in the film where he's talking to his wife, and it's the most cheesiest possible dialogue imaginable. And it's consistently like that throughout the entire film. And it's so bad because of that.
I guess you can't blame the movie for being consistent with its crappiness.
Yeah.
it's again crappy all the way through. I will give it credit though. It did actually have, I did have a genuine laugh at one point, and it was Jeffrey Donovan. There is a moment where Jeffrey Donovan has a realization about another character, not to get into spoilers. And he comes to this realization. He knows he's going to have to do a very, like, challenging thing for him and for this other person. And then he actually shares a moment with the dog. And the dog is like a little poodle, like, cute little dog. And he looks at the dog and he's like, what do you think it should do? And it cuts to the dog of just like, you know what you should do. And it fucking killed me. I was like, that is hysterical. And I think the movie played it for laughs. And it was like, okay, movie. Like, I've just been, you know, kind of closing my eyes watching this movie, but right there is like, that was fucking funny.
I wish I could see all the things that you guys are seeing. Because overall, yeah, I do know what this type of movie is trying to be. And unfortunately, maybe I'm just so spoiled in regards to action films, where if it doesn't seem like the stunt performer was going to die, I am not interested. I'm so spoiled by The Raid 2, John Wick 3 recently. So when it comes to these Liam Neeson movies, they kind of feel like Lifetime movies in the sense that they all follow a certain formula, and I'm happy for whoever can get something out of that, but I'm just not it. I'm just not that person who can't. I was ridiculously bored by this, and you bring up, oh man, I forgot his name, but the cop with the dog.
Jeffrey Donovan's character. Yeah. I have no idea. Spoiler, here's one thing. No one remembers anyone's name in this fucking movie.
Except for Tom. That's the only, because it's except so generic.
Because they say it a million times.
Well, and even Tom is going by an alias for like a third of the movie. So it takes me a second to connect. Wait, no, he's Tom.
But I bring up Jeffrey Davidson.
Donovan.
And all it makes me think is, like, you know, this just makes me want to recommend people go watch Villains, where he is fantastic.
Or
watch Burn Notice, where he's the main character.
Or and even in regards to Liam Neeson, I tell everyone I know to go check it out if you can stomach it. Oh, A Walk Among the Tombstones. It seems like it's going to be another one of these movies, and it's so not. It is a dark, really compelling thriller that feels like a throwback to like 70s Walter Hill movies. It's great. Huh. This is just another Liam Neeson movie, and he has people that are going to go see this and are going to be excited for it, and that's fine. But I can't, just with that, I can't say that this is a good movie.
Well, let's go into then final thoughts with that, Adrian. You can kind of start it off, even though you're on a roll right now. It's like, yeah, this movie's dog shit, by the way.
Maybe it's because we were given the worst screener I've ever encountered while on the site. I don't know what you guys are thinking with Flash. Don't do that ever again, please.
I'm going to keep that in this review, actually.
So maybe it was that. Maybe it was the fact that I'm watching this in the morning. I don't know. But I couldn't find any entertainment out of this other than kind of making fun of it. And even when it comes to that, there are better movies to do that with. This is another Liam Neeson action movie that's just paint by numbers. And, hey, my grandpa might love this. I'll show him it. But I'm not going to watch it again, and I don't think anybody else who's kind of like me is going to watch this and get anything out of it. Go watch a Walk Among the Tombstones. I give this one trend that it's just going to keep going out of 5.
You know, I think that's actually a good title for his next movie, Paint by Numbers. That'd be a good one. Everyone's like, I know what I'm getting myself into.
He's an honest paintballer.
Spider Mike, how about you? What are your final thoughts?
Yes, so I can't argue with any of that because this movie's fucking awful. It's because the thing is, like I knew what I signed up for is the thing. Like, if after Taken 1, because the Taken 1 is still actually a pretty solid movie, it's everything after that that's really bad. Because Taken 2, I used to call Taken 2 Donkey Kong Country 2 because he gets kidnapped in it. and so it's just every movie after that was just this super. It's like trying to be Taken. But not at the same time, and this gets dangerously close a couple of times to some of those Taken sequels, and it's clear that he's too old for these things now. He's like, there's a lot of really unintentionally funny moments in this entire movie, whether it be a cut, the way he runs, this one specific moment that I think is supposed to be serious but was still pretty funny because of it. And yeah, Jeffrey Donovan is giving it his fucking all, like, the entire time. Liam Neeson is still giving it his all the entire time. Kate Walsh is just kind of there. Jai Courtney is Jai Courtney, I guess, kind of thing. I already forgot. What was the other guy's name? His character's name was, like, Mario or something.
Anthony Ramos, who is in the soundtrack as well.
Yes. The cheesiest fucking songs. Every single piece of dialogue is pure cheese from beginning pretty much to end. Even the plan to defeat the bad guy felt like something out of Home Alone at one point, except that somebody dies kind of thing. It's just weird. Like, I don't know. Like, it reminds me of when Steven Seagal had a lot of movies that were the same and everybody's dad was watching them. That's what these Liam Neeson movies are. Like, you're like, that dude clearly can't do any of these things. Like, why are you guys keep watching these? I would have to give it 6 out of 10 times the dog just looked adorable.
Wow. That's actually a pretty good rating then.
Yeah, that's certified fresh.
That's more for the people who know what they're getting into.
Sure.
If I had to tell the people who don't know what they're getting into, I would give it like a 4 out of 10 times Liam Neeson looked out of breath.
It seems like the focus group, or like the people it's directed towards, like stepdads who only have TNT, that can only watch TV on Saturday afternoons. Trevor, what are your final thoughts, please?
Steven Seagal dads and Denzel Washington moms, rejoice. A new fun film is here. I am going to back Adrian's play here. This is not one I'm going to reach for and watch out of hand anytime soon, anytime in the next couple of years. But I will qualify that by saying, if I bump into this on TNT and it is on, I too will not shut it off. I will probably watch the rest of it and remember that time when on One of Us, like, this was a pretty generic Liam Neeson movie, and I think that's why I'm okay with it, because that's exactly what I was expecting. I walked in when we were signing up for, you know, what movies to review, I saw the trailer for this. I literally watched 3 seconds of the trailer and I said, oh, it's another Liam Neeson revenge movie. I'm in. You know, I at least got something watchable if it's not particularly memorable. And for that, I think I'm going to give it 7 out of 10 particular set of skills.
You know, this movie actually started to remind me of Inside Man, which is an infinitely better movie this, because it has the same kind of like, you know, sort of moral character who is committing a crime, and with Liam Neeson then obviously making the most ridiculous decision to turn himself in and also just give back all the money and like basically it's like, I'm sorry. And they're like, what? Like, that's not how any of this works, bro. And like, I even love how they even like comment on that. Like, that's not how this works. You committed a lot of felonies. Actually, you stole $9 million anyway. So I think we're all in agreement. It's a very generic Liam Neeson movie again. Like, buckle up if you like these kind of movies. But if you don't, you're getting the same thing and don't watch it. I don't think I'll ever see this again, even if it was on TNT. And thank Christ I only have streaming services and I don't have TNT streaming. Because I don't, I guess, like Liam Neeson movies anymore. So I'm going to, and I will say, if you do watch this, just watch the Jeffrey Donovan scenes again and then watch everything else he's done. He's a wonderful actor. He got a start in Blair Witch Project 2, which is weird, but check out season 4 of Fargo and then Burn Notice. And there's even the One Hit Wonder show on Hulu, like I In, I Out or something like that.
He's also an antagonist on Hitch.
Really? Oh, really? I love him. Yeah, I love this guy. He's such a good, like, I want to see him and Walton Goggins as brothers.
Oh my God, I'd love that. That'd
be perfect, right? Cast. I don't even know what the movie would be about. I just want to see them like be awesome together. But in the end, I will give this movie 2 out of 10 really awkward meet cutes at the very beginning of a movie, a heist movie sort of, that really is uncomfortable to watch at the very beginning and also confusing. Anyway, that was a really weird opening. I honestly thought they knew each other at the very beginning and then they don't know each other. I'm like, who the fuck, who are these people?
That's what makes that cut so fucking weird, because just all of a sudden it's just, and then they've been dating for like a year.
Well, and like, she walks in on him, he is sniffing her coffee.
Yeah,
like up to his nose. I have picked it up. I am back in the employees area. I have picked up a coffee and I'm sniffing it, and then I'm going to offer you your own cookie. And somehow that became charming and not creepy. I didn't get the memo.
Ooh, did you take a sip?